was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Oh, y'all, I don't know if I've ever been more tired in my life. But you know what else? I don't know that I've ever been more happy in my life. And hello in the back. That's a crowd back there, I tell you. Turn your Bibles, if you have them, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We're going to talk today about a calling. And Michelle spoke to our little ones about calling. The little duck was calling, and the Lord places a calling on our lives. And we're going to kind of look at that and see what Paul really had to say about that, or actually see what Paul wrote down that the Holy Spirit told Paul to say about that. I'm going to read the first 13 verses of the book of chapter 4 of Ephesians. And the words are up on the screen if you don't have a Bible. By the way, in case you haven't been here when I make this offer, if you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you. But if you don't have a copy of God's Word, I'd love to give you one. I've got some in my office. I'd just love to put one in your hand. Free of charge. I'm not going to charge you for God's Word. So if you need a Bible, you see me right after church. I'll put one in your hand and bless you with that. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high and led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, there's a lot in there. It's a lot in that passage. It's a great passage. The word call or calling or called is in there several times. And so we're going to talk today about what is that? What does that mean? What is a calling? A calling, the word can be defined as an inner urge or a strong impulse within you, especially one believed to be divinely inspired by God. When we think of the word calling, we usually think of it in reference to ministers. Your pastor has been called to the ministry. Your minister of music has been called to the ministry. A missionary has been called to the missionary field. We use that word in those type of things or designated roles in the church. Maybe somebody might say, well, I've been called to be a Sunday school teacher. I've been called to lead the youth. I've been called to serve in a certain ministry. You might wonder if God places a calling on the rest of us, though, right? The rest of us, just regular folks, has God placed a calling on us? Well, do we think that God's calling would come in a big flash of light accompanied by thunder? Does it always come with a big crash and boom, here it is. This is your call from God. Well, do we think of God's calling only in the important things of life? Do we think that God only calls us to the big monumental tasks or monumental things in our life that God wants us to do. God calls us to this. The rest of the stuff is inconsequential to Him. God's calling cannot be measured by the world's measuring stick. I do know that. It's not measured by how much we achieve. God's calling is not about success or failure. Sometimes God's calling is about the invisible things. What is God's calling to us? The word calling, especially in the New Testament, is used by Paul to mean the invitation given by two men, by God, to accept salvation through Jesus Christ. You see, everyone is called to salvation. So if you're thinking, you're out there this morning, you're thinking, well, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a pastor, I'm not called. Oh, my friend, you are called. God is calling you. He's like the duck saying, quack, quack, quack. Come on. He's calling to you. Are you responding? Are you listening to the call? Are you hearing it? Because God is calling you to salvation. That's the most fundamental, basic call. But it's the most important call that you'll ever answer in your life. Not everyone answers the call. Some people ignore it and pretend like it never happened. Some people pretend like they can't hear it. Don't ignore the call. There are other callings upon the life of the Christian. And I want to look down here in Ephesians chapter 11, where it says here, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Those are some specific places that God has called certain people to. There's also a corporate calling. If you look further down, it talks about having unity in the faith. That relies on more than one person, doesn't it? Come on. Does being united rely on one person or many? Many. That's you and me. We have to work together if we're going to be united. Guess what? God has called us to be united. He's called us to work together. Not only is it a good idea because we can do more when we work together, it gives honor and glory to Him because we're His showcase. He says, look at my body. Look at me in the lives of my people. They're loving each other. They're loving the unlovely. They're loving other people. And we're showing that God is love. But that's in united. We're being united in that. Unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There's a corporate calling. There's an individual call. There's a basic call that we all have. That is the call to salvation. Will you trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation for all of eternity? Will you put your faith and trust in Him, accept His forgiveness for your sins, because the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God said, I've sent my Son, Jesus Christ, to take that payment that must be paid. Your sin requires a death. But God said, I'm going to pay that for you. Do you accept that? That's the call. Do you accept that and allow that payment to be applied to your debt? That's the call. That's answering the call. That's the individual call. There's the corporate calling. The calling of us as a church to be united, to work together, to become one body and accomplish more than we could ever do individually. Sometimes God's calling doesn't make us happy. James said he was happy, happy, happy. Sometimes God's calling causes us to go, oh, what have I gotten myself into? That's right, I hear some people out there. I see some heads nodding. Uh-huh. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it'll be a real challenge, God's call. Sometimes it'll be uncomfortable to hear what God wants to say to us because it means maybe God needs us to change. He needs us to look at things from a different perspective. He wants us to take our attitude and switch it completely around sometimes, from a bad attitude to a good attitude. And sometimes we don't want to do all that. Sometimes there will be peace in God's calling, right? Sometimes He calls, and we know that He's calling us to do something or to be something, and we have a certain peace about that. We're just like, yes, I get this. I understand it. I'm in like Flynn. I'm in all the way. I'm there. I have a peace about it. Sometimes that happens, y'all. Sometimes we're at war with ourselves. I know that that's what God's calling me to do, and I know that I feel that this is what God wants me to do. I just don't want to do it. Y'all are looking at me like I'm silly, but you've been there too. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes we have peace about it. Sometimes we will respond to God's call in a positive manner. Sometimes we will respond, right? When God says, will you put your faith and your trust in my Son, Jesus Christ? And sometimes we say, yes, I will. And that's a great day for us. Some people say, not today. Not today. Maybe not ever. Sometimes God calls us to do certain tasks or to fill certain roles. Sometimes we answer that call. Sometimes we don't. The experience of God's calling is special to everyone. The call on my life is different than the call on your life. But the call on your life is no less special than the call on my life. And the call doesn't always come at once. It's not like, now sometimes it does. Sometimes it comes hard and fast. And sometimes we'll be laying there and God will say, I want you to pow, do that. And we're like, whoa, and I'm overwhelmed and God's calling me to something all of a sudden, real fast. Sometimes it's just little steps. He says, now I want you to do this little thing. Now this little thing. I want you to learn to do this. I want to lead you into this. I want you to step out a little bit in this. I want you to do this. And before we know it, we've come a long way, made a lot of progress. Right? Sometimes it comes slowly, developmentally, over time. Let me tell you my story real quick. Some of you that have been here with me when I came through almost 3 years ago, know my story. Some of you don't. When I was about 19 years old, I right out of high school, I went to play football up in New York. Went to the United States Military Academy to play football for Army. And y'all know that's a long way from home, for an old West Texas boy. That's a long way from, and it's cold up there. The wind would blow across that frozen Hudson River and come right up that cliff and just bite right through my wool pants. And it was never so cold in all my life. Anyway, I got injured and football days were done. And they said, well, we'll let you out. If you want to go back, you can go back to Texas. And I said, count me in. I'm all game for going back home. So I came back. I was pretty down and out, though, because football was my life. And I was going to play for the Dallas Cowboys. Okay. I mean, amen, I hear that. The Texans weren't in existence yet. I wasn't going to play for the Washington Redskins, though. I do know that. Or the Pittsburgh Steelers. I had an uncle that said, don't you play for those Pittsburgh Steelers. But I digress. I came home, and I was mad. I was upset. And God said, you know what? You can just get mad all you want. But that's not the plan I had for you. And when you decide to quit being mad, I'll tell you what I want you to do. And I was mad for about a year and a half. And then finally, I was through being mad. I was miserable being mad. And so I told God, I said, God, I'm done. I'm done, you win. I'm through. And He said, good. Now I've got a job for you. I want you to be in my ministry. And I was like, whoa, that's a big change. But okay, I'm all in. And I just hit the ground running. At 19 years old, I knew that God wanted me to be a youth minister. And I was all in. And I was lining up churches to work in. And I did work in some churches. And it didn't take me long to figure out that that's not where God really wanted me. At 19 years old, I was not like our 19-year-old young adults today. I was immature at 19 years old. I think the times have not changed much. But at 19 years old, I thought I was mature. I wasn't. As it turns out, God knew that, and so he didn't intend for me to be a youth minister at 19 years old. After I finally figured that out, he led me to where he had me to be, and I worked for 7 years at a residential treatment facility for emotionally disturbed children. And I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God had me in that place at that specific time for some very specific reasons. And when that time was done, it's almost like an audible voice, except it was much louder. And it said, "Thank you. You've done what I've asked you to do. You're released from this right now." And when I was released from that, I was like, whoa. Wow. What a time. It was very emotional, very, very trying. I was tired, wore out. We moved to the Houston area, to Tomball. And for the next 12 years, we were involved with church. We were leading and teaching Sunday school and working in the youth and having a very involved, very, very active. Working, I was doing heavy dirt construction and home inspections. I was doing all kinds of stuff. And things were going great. We were going through this study called Experiencing God. Henry Blackaby did a study called Experiencing God. We were doing that study as part of the church-wide deal. And one night, one evening, Rebecca can testify to this. We're laying in bed, and I was doing my homework because it comes in a workbook. You do your work through the week, and then you go at church on Sunday night or Wednesday night, and you kind of discuss. And anyway, I'm sitting there laying in bed one evening doing my homework, and I slammed my workbook shut, and I threw it across the room. And she was like, "What is going on with you?" I said, "I don't know." And what had happened was God, just in that very instance, reached down, and it's like he slapped me right across the face. He said, "Now, now you're ready. I've been preparing you for the last 19 years for what I'm about to call you to." And I was like, "Oh, what have I gotten myself into?" And I said, "God, let me explain some things to you. Because God needs to understand some things from time to time, right?" That's what I thought. He's like, "Well, go ahead, little boy, if you feel like you need to explain some things to me. And then when you're done, I'll explain some things to you." It's kind of like a little Job thing going on there. And I said, "Here's the deal, God. I think to be a pastor, I need to have finished my degree. And I haven't done that. I'm close, but I'm not there. And school is too far away. And plus, we don't have any money. And to do that, I'd have to not work and go to school. And it just can't happen." He said, "You let me worry about the little things." I was like, "Well, those are not little things. Those are big things. Those are obstacles." If anybody ever seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Okay. These were not just obstacles. These were obstacles. Because these obstacles were stacked one on top of the other so high that I couldn't see the end of the road. And God said, "I'll take care of the little things. You just be obedient." And one by one, God began to remove those obstacles. I was able to complete my education. Didn't even have to leave home. I could do it at home. And they transferred everything. The rules that I thought applied didn't apply. I didn't ask questions. I was like, "Cool. You did it, God." And one by one, those things began to fall away. I was able to complete my bachelor's degree. Not that God needs a bachelor's degree to do ministry. But I felt that is part of what God was calling me to do. I felt that God was calling me to do that. And so one thing led to another, and lo and behold, right about the time I was wrapping things up, I got a phone call. A man named Don Perswell called me and said, "Is this Mike?" I said, "Yes, it is." He said, Mike, this is Don Percival. I'm at Dolan Baptist Church. I said, who? He said, we'd like to invite you to come and preach. We're without a pastor, and we're just trying to fill in, and we'd like to get somebody to come and fill in for this certain weekend. I said, well, sure, I'd love to come preach. I've been preaching a little bit. But see, it was just the right timing. One thing led to another, and then a month later, here I am. I'm the pastor of Dolan Baptist Church. And it's been a great ride since then, too. It's only getting better. But that's my story. Your story is probably not going to be like my story. Okay? But it doesn't mean God's not calling you to do something. He may not be calling you to be a pastor of a church. He may not be calling you to be a missionary. But first and foremost, He's calling you to be saved. He's calling you to accept His Son as your Lord and Savior of your life. He's calling you to accept the forgiveness that He offers you. Now, He doesn't stop there. Also, I know that. He calls you now to something else. Now, I can't answer what that is for you. I'm not your Holy Spirit. Wouldn't want to be. It's a full-time job. I've got a full-time job. I wouldn't be very good at it. But God's calling you to something. What's He calling you to? What is He calling you to do? Who is He calling you to be? He's not through with you. He may be calling you to something right now. He may be calling you to do the preparatory work for something He's about to call you to in the near or distant future. I don't know. But have you asked? Have you asked Him? Have you dug through His Word? Have you spent time in prayer over it? Have you asked Him, what is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to accomplish this? What is it what's your plan for me? What is your call on my life? I would encourage you to ask that, to seek it, to find it. And when it makes it clear to you, follow it. Follow it. Maybe God's calling you here this morning to step up and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The basic call. Can't call you anything else until you answer that call. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you've done that and you've been playing games like I did for a long time. And now maybe God's calling you and saying, look, we made this deal. You said you were going to let me be your Lord and Savior, and I said I would, and then you're kind of doing this other stuff now. Where are we at in this deal? Maybe God's calling you to come back to Him. Maybe God's calling you to do what James Winder did and rededicate your life and say, now, I'm starting fresh. From this point on, I am all in. I'm in with both feet. I'm not looking back. God, I don't understand exactly what you want from me yet, but I'm here. Maybe you're here this morning and God's calling you like He called me to something specific. Maybe God's calling you to be a minister of the gospel. Maybe God's calling you to the mission field. I don't know. But you need to ask. A call doesn't do any good unless there's a response. You ever heard a duck call? I don't have a duck call. Or a wild a varmint. You ever been varmint hunting or seen varmint hunting on TV? They place these calls out there. Or they call, make it sound like a dying rabbit or a coyote or something like that to bring in the predators. There a turkey call, a buck grunt. I mean, there's all kinds of calls. They don't do any good unless there's a response. It's our job to respond to God's call on our life. What's He calling you to do? Maybe it's not real clear. Maybe God's waiting for you to say, God, I don't understand what it is, but here I am. I'm willing. What's your response? Maybe you feel like you're not strong enough to follow God's calling. Let me tell you something. If that's the case with you, if you feel like you're not strong enough to follow God's calling, congratulations, because that's exactly where God wants you. God calls us to dependency on Him. There's a sense of humility that is necessary to respond properly to God. Did you know that? To respond properly to God, we have to say, God, I can't do this by myself. There are some obstacles that I cannot overcome. And God will say, I'm in the obstacle removing business. Because that's His job. When we recognize that and we put our faith and trust in Him and allow Him to do His work, is when He has us right where He wants us. Are you there? Are you there? Are you where God wants you to be? Let me encourage you. If you're not where God wants you to be, get where God wants you to be. Maybe God wants you right here on this altar, on your hands and knees. Maybe God wants you right there in your place, giving your life fresh anew to Him today. I can't answer that for you. But let me challenge you, before you leave this place, you answer it for yourself. Would you stand? Mark's going to lead us in just a couple of verses of a hymn of invitation. I'm going to be down front. The altar is always open. Listen, this altar is always open. Anytime during the service, not just at this time, this altar is always open. Anytime you feel like you want to come and kneel down, you come. You're not going to disturb anybody. This is your time. You respond as the Spirit leads.